The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
The ball sinks in towards where Jamie Rogers is up. Rogers sees the left! Oh, Jamie Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Jamie Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Marquise Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up. Shane Farrell and Shelsley 2-0.
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
She gets the winning goal here. Slattery into the back of the net. That is what champions do. That is what winners do. Pearl Slattery.
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes, goal. Shelburne lead.
His cross, Stephen.
Kilduff is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and yeah! It's all over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
So just reward, we deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the 1895 official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, as always, in association with our proud media sponsor, Off the Ball. I'm joined today with my favourite footballer of all time, Seán Cooke. Seán, how are you getting on?
I'm good, Adzie. Thanks very much. That's a nice little lie you told there as well.
I know, yeah. It's just to get you, to warm you up, do you know what I mean? I know you're feeling that you can't be watching the Colleen Rooney documentary anymore. So I'm glad to have you on, Seán. A big week for the Reds, of course, men's and women's side, with victories in the past week. Of course, the men's side got a draw away up in Derry. But Seán, as has been tradition recently with the podcast, we will start off with the Richie rankings, which will be separating the good guys and the bad guys of the weeks gone by. The Richie Winter being the bad guys and gals, and the Richie Baker being the good guys and gals. Seán, do you want to get us underway with your Richie Winter?
Yeah, is that the bad?
That's the bad guy.
Yeah, I think, you'd have to say Diallo, you know, was hoping for a good spicy match on Friday night, and after sending off early on, it ended up being a pretty tame match. So, no doubt it was a sending off, but for many of us, I suppose, weathering a storm and watching the football on television, it didn't make for pretty watching, so I'm blaming him for that.
Yeah, it was one of them, and we'll get on to the game in depth to come, but it's one of them when a team goes down to 10 men, you prepare yourself for weeks to play against a side with 11 people, obviously, and it can be a shock to the system. It kind of has an effect either way where you kind of take the initiative and go on to win the game, or it has that effect where the team down to 10 men just sit in and look at Diallo goes off. It's a poor challenge on Farrell, nearly decapitates the poor leg off him, but... yeah, definitely red card. I'm of similar vein this week. I'm going to go with John Martin's tackle on Brian McManus. Sees him out for the rest of the season. I know there's not long left, yeah. But in a season where Shells have been hampered, the men's side have been hampered with, you know, injuries to Boyd, Smith, you know, you throw Brian McManus onto the list and he'd only been back. And John Martin, I don't know how the referee didn't give the red card for this, by the way.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
full on just takes Brian McManus out. It's such a poor challenge.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful. And I think we've seen inconsistencies there, haven't we, across the season? Like, even with sending offs that we've got that aren't red cards. I was watching it on television and I could see that it was a pretty bad tackle. I didn't think the ref was too far away from it. But look, this stuff happens, and like, it's a challenge for Brian, but he's surrounded by a good management team there and good teammates, and he's a player that's young enough to be able to overcome this stuff. So all the best to him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a very talented player, and I think he hasn't really had his time under Duffer. I don't think he's really gotten a fair chance at times, but that's mainly down to having the odd injury and niggles and the fact that Shells have a lot of options in midfield as well. But I found it very interesting on Friday night, when Diallo got sent off. I think the co-commentator let out a cry when the red card had come out, and I don't know. I was looking at it thinking, now obviously look at Shell's tinted glasses on, I'm thinking it's a red card straight away. But it reminds me of that John Martin tackle in the Dundalk game. I was up in the country with, I think, Shiro that night. And Shiro, very similarly to the Derry co-commentator, let out a cry thinking it was a red card. And look, it bias comes into these things. But I was listening to the commentator, and he was adamant that it wasn't a red card. He was adamant that Farrell was kind of rolling around, and that the yellow, he'd mistimed it, but it definitely wasn't a red card. And I don't know how he thought otherwise. But it's a tough life being a commentator, Sean, isn't it?
Look, I mean, we don't be wishing people happy birthdays and hope, you know, congratulating their wives on surprise parties. I think I was so caught up in that, Azzy, I probably missed the rest of what you were talking about. Went on mute at that stage, I think.
Yeah, I was very conscious of slating them, but I did find it very funny. It is a tough job, in fairness, but I did find it funny. And anyways, the Richie Baker this week, Sean, you're a good guy / gal for the week.
Yeah, I think it has to be Christy Gray. Just the week she's had, obviously scoring the header against Rovers to put us 1-0 up, and then the goal against Sligo was absolute quality. But I suppose I just have to say, like, you know, she's obviously come over, took her a little bit of time to get into the team, and then she found herself back out of it again. The nature of football and whatnot, but I just think she's an example to players around her and young players, and that, you know, you keep your head down and you let your football do the talking. And I just thought, like, the two goals she got were brilliant, but her work rate's incredible. Like, you talk to people around the ground, and you know, they just think she's fantastic for what she gives when she wears a Shells jersey. But the goal against Sligo, I think, is a real standout of definitely goal of the season for any Shells team.
Yeah, I think she's a real fan's favourite as well, isn't she? I think it's always tough coming from abroad, and obviously the game would be different over in the likes of North America, but she's come in, and I think at the start, Sean, she was, you know, I think there was games where we were looking at her and she was running around, giving a plenty of effort, and it was probably that bit of clinicalness to her game that she hadn't got. But since the last few games, especially, as you said, Rovers and Sligo, especially the Sligo goal, it was an incredibly well-taken goal. My Richie Baker for the week, for the week that's in it, Shells had a post up on Instagram and Twitter regarding Friday's game with UCD. They've labelled it the last dance for Jack Moylan, in similar fashion to Michael Jordan with the Chicago Bulls. But I'm going to give mine to Jack Moylan just for his Shells career alone. I think he's had a very good stint with Shells. I think when he came in for Bowes, there was a lot of, you know, people chatting him up and thinking of, I think there was a lot of talk around him being a very good player. And I don't think we could have thought in that first game against Pats that he was going to come in and, you know, do what he's done for Shells. And even that first game against Pats, Darren Maloney was on commentary for T, and he does say in his intro when the team sheet comes up that Jack Moylan's a player to look out for. And in the game itself against Pats, Jesus, this is nearly 2 years ago now, he could have had a hat-trick in the game. And I think since then, he's improved his game, he's improved his physicality, he's improved everything about his game. He's taken that goal scoring nous into it as well, and he is going to be a player that we're going to miss next year as he moves over to Lincoln.
Yeah, he's a brilliant talent. It's a lot of pressure on him, I think, when he signed for Shells, like, you know, you're seeing all the crap on social media about, oh, there was a reason he's not good enough for Bowes. And I mean, I think, you know, they would have loved to have him at times during last year, this season. And I mean, look what an opportunity he has had. He's leaving after spending 2 years under, you know, one of the best wingers, Irish footballers, to play in the Premier League. He'll be set up in terms of his mentality to go over there and know what to expect. Like, not many other players, well, in the league, from any other teams, when they're going over there, can really say that they have that, you know, knowledge and that type of person in their corner, Damien Duff, Joey O'Brien. So no doubt he's leaving the club, you know, well equipped. And in fairness to Jack, you know, he's leaving the club in a better place than he found it. He's really added, I think, to the style of play. And you can just tell he's a player that loves playing for the fans. And I think he's from around Kilbarrick, Raheny there. So obviously ex-Raheny myself. So I have to I have to give a shout out to him because he's doing the old parish proud.
Have you got a, does a particular moment stick out, Sean? Like, for me, I remember one of the first Ben's games I did last year would have been the cup game against Bowes. And I can still remember that goal himself, Matty Smith linking up. And I think I said something like, and he kisses the badge or something like that. Or he waves at the Bowes supporters, or blows a kiss to the Bowes supporters, I think is what I said. And I always, one of the lads that goes to the games with me, he always says that to me. He's like, that's going to be like, if you ever make a career out of this, that'll be the one you look back on most fondest. And it is definitely for me, that game against Bowes in the cup, the goal for him was one moment that sticks out for me. But would you have one moment yourself, Shauna, that sticks out?
Do you know what? I think he scored a lot of great goals. The one up in the Brandywell, I thought was brilliant, just to kind of, you know, his movement and the way he closes play down is excellent to force Brian Maher, who was an excellent distributor, you know, into to kind of make the mistake and to take the shot the way he did. And also there was one against Sligo last year at home, and I thought he was just brilliant in kind of, you know, his ability, as I said, to read the game, to dribble with the ball, and to just put players on defenders on the back foot. I think he's had loads of moments. You know, it's hard to define it as one, but obviously I think the Bowes one stick a lot more in our heads because it rivalry and, you know, the passion there. But yeah, as I said, he's given the club lots of great memories, and all the best to him and stepping forward and into the next chapter in his hopefully long career.
Yeah, there was one there the other week against Dundalk, and he just throws it through the legs of Sloggett and then smashes it. And if I had gone in, I swear to God, I would have done so many videos on social media. It was that good, the bit of skill before. But yeah, best luck to him. Look, it's his last game on Friday. Do get out and get down and support the lads. The last home game of the season, in what could be a crucial game come the end of the season as well. So, Shauna, we spoke about Christy Gray, and we're going to speak about the women's side now. Last Wednesday, in the midst of a storm, Shells got a 2-1 win over Sligo. Christy Gray and Scorsese, as we said, with that banger. Emma Hansbury on Scorsese, and then getting sent off for Sligo, and then Megan Smith-Lynch with the winner in the end. Capped off a good couple of days following the semi-final victory over Shamrock Rovers away as well. What did you think coming out of the game on Wednesday, Shauna?
You know, I thought like it could have been a banana skin. I've been in those positions myself. You play a game at the weekend, like, you know, the one the girls played against Rovers, there's a lot of emotion. You know, it's a tough game. There's the kind of adrenaline that comes with a semi-final. And then you come out of that and you have to go into a midweek game, and you know, you do kind of expect a bit of a hangover in those games. It can be hard just to, I suppose, maintain that momentum that you'd naturally maybe get from weekend to weekend. It's just, I suppose, you're trying to carry that into a midweek game, which is a bit it's not common in the women's game. You know, and I do have to say, like, I feel for Sligo. I don't know who in the FAI thought it'd be good or acceptable to have, you know, a women's team travel all the way from Sligo to Dublin. Or, you know, it's the same for other clubs, I know. But that was kind of journeys. A lot of the players have jobs or in college. It's bonkers. So in fairness to Sligo, they come up and, you know, the weather was atrocious. You know, the pitch obviously played a bit of a part as well, but at this stage of the season, it's just about digging in and getting results. Like, leading up to a cup final, you just want to maintain that momentum of winning. Because sometimes when you stop winning, it can be hard to get back into that habit again. So it's just now about kind of them maintaining that momentum. And, you know, obviously, Piemont went and won the league as well. So for us, it's about obviously finishing as high as we can now. But, you know, I suppose the focus, the big focus, is on the cup final and just making sure everybody's fit and raring to go for that.
Yeah, and it was Megan Smith-Lynch with the goal again in the 90th minute late on for Shells. What a season she's having, Shauna.
Yeah, she's turning up with goals and assists nearly every game. And, you know, I have to say, like, in fairness to Megan, like, the semi-final, she had to go in and play in the 10, you know, which can be a difficult position to play if you're out in the wing. But Megan's obviously a coach as well, so she's kind of got that ability to step into a position and have a fair idea. And I think that helped, you know, Hannah that was in front of Megan, having that kind of player behind her that could offer that little bit, I suppose, that little bit of like coaching, as far as a teammate support. But no, fair play to Megan. Like, she turns up with the goods when it's needed, and the assist for Christy Gray's goal was brilliant. And same as last year, you know, look at many games we were commentating that, and the dying minutes of the game, and there's Megan Smith-Lynch popping up with an absolute wonder goal. So fair play to her, and I hope it continues into next season.
Yeah, I think some of the team this season for Shells and games has been, you know, probably a slow start in the first half and then coming out in the second half and getting the win. And that could be down to the Shells squad. I know there was a lot of additions around the Champions League as well. Obviously, we're coming to the end of the season, so it's probably not that much of a worry now, but overall, is that kind of something that gets into the psyche? Like, you're going into a game and look, a Hansbury scores 3 minutes in, and from that moment on, it is kind of touch and go for a bit for Shells. You're kind of wondering, you know, can they break the Sligo side down? Obviously, look at Shells, they come back into it and win 2-1 in the end. But do you think that's a bit of a problem that Shells have to address, in especially coming up to a cup final where, you know, Athlone are still a very dangerous side? You don't want to lose an early goal to them, because in a cup final, it's much different.
Yeah, look, I think Athlone are going to be a different beast altogether. I mean, they're set up well. They have some fantastic talent. They're very organised, very fit. But yeah, like, we've seen slow starts all season. I think that's going to, you know, have to change. You're not going to get that opportunity in a final, as you said there, Adzie. But, you know, you've got players in that Shells team, like, experienced players who know how to win games. And then, you know, that's why the likes of Shells and Piemont, they're the best teams in the country, because even when they are playing bad, they know how to win games. You know, they know how to just control the game, control the tempo, step it up when they have to. But yeah, look, finals are special occasions. They're different to league games, and it adds extra pressure going into a final. And, you know, being in that game that every other player in the country wants to be in, adds a little bit of pressure. But look, I'm sure they'll be working on that between now and the final. And, you know, like, you've got a good few players there that have been in many finals. I think Noel's at 7 finals now or something like that. I'm sure Kev, the stats man, will tell us something else. But, you know, you've got players that know about these games, know the feeling of it. I think she's Talit is our second home at this stage for playing there and winning players the matches. So, yeah, like, I'm sure the players are well aware of those slow starts, and it'll be something that they'll have conversations about. But going into a final, the last thing you want is, as you said, to go a goal down early on and, you know, be chasing the game.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be ideal in any way, shape or form. Like, you look at the semi-final, win over Shamrock Rovers, you know, the week before, obviously preceded a big defeat. But the Shell side showed real character, didn't they, in that semi-final, Sean? You know, Hannah Healy gets the goal, Christy Gray, as you said. Going into that semi-final, having lost the week before, did you expect much the same, or were you surprised by the victory, I suppose, from Shells?
No, I wasn't surprised. I know the players there, a lot of them, very well. And I mean, they're big players, you know. And look, the reality is I think a lot of people knew coming out of, I suppose even July, that Piemont already had one hand on the cup. You're kind of waiting for them to slip up. And I just, there was kind of a feeling amongst the footballing community, I think, that wasn't going to happen this year. I mean, they're a you know, a dog with the bit between their teeth this year. And fair play to Piemont, I'd say congratulations, well deserved. But I think coming out of the game against Rovers, like, the reality is, because there's no, you know, there's no prize for second or third in this league. Like, you either win the league or you lose it. You don't get anything for second place other than a piece of tin you wear around your neck. Any footballer worth anything, that just goes in a drawer, or collects dust somewhere. You know, you either want Champions League or an FA Cup final. That's the reality. There's no point in finishing second in the WNL. It doesn't really mean anything, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So I knew they'd have the power to bounce back. I know the characters in that dressing room. You know, I was talking to some of the girls and you could just sense it with them. Like they said, like they were 100% ready for the game, the cup final. They were ready to go. Like now, maybe that was the best thing that happened, was losing the game, giving them a bit of, you know, a bit of, I suppose, sting. And maybe it worked in their favour. Watched an interview or two after the Rovers game. I thought there was a bit of cockiness there on their behalf, thinking the game would be easy the week after. And I thought Hannah Healy was excellent. I mean, I think the two centre halves were absolutely rattled. Our work rate was incredible. And I just thought every single player wanted it more. You know, they showed character, they showed soul. That's what you want in a team. You know, that's stuff that you can't buy. You can't buy that. It takes years and years to develop that. So as I've said it all season, the girls are an absolute credit to the club. And I thought from, you know, the starting 11 to the girls on the bench, they were fantastic. And they've given the club another day out and something to look forward to towards the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And quick shout for Hannah Healy, herself and Kate McCarron are with the Ireland under-19 women's squad as they take on Belgium, Faroe Islands and the Netherlands this week. Another international break, Sean, in the season. That feels like it's been a big, long international break for the women's game. But Shell's next game, of course, is against Bowes on the 4th of November. Live on LOI TV, but it is frustrating, Sean, isn't it? The kind of amount of breaks, it feels like it's been abnormal with the World Cup, but for me, it feels like it's difficult to gain any momentum or a real rhythm. And I think that's probably been indicative of some of Shell's performance this season. But look, at Shell's are second in the league, you know, credit where it's due to Piemont, they've done it this year. And look, at Shell's find themselves in another final, and I suppose that's all that's to be worried about at the minute.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm a person that much prefers me club football to international. Be doing my head in every second week. And we have to endure international football. But hopefully next year it'll level back out again and there'll be a bit more rhythm to it.
Yeah, and there was another two derbies in the women's under-17s and 19s leagues this week between Shells and Shamrock Rovers. The women's under-17s beat Shamrock Rovers 5-1 with goals from Savannah Kane, Hannah O'Brien twice, Eve Brennan and Faye O'Sullivan, which sees the Shells under-17 side remain top of the table. In the under-19s, Rebecca Devereaux got a goal against Shamrock Rovers, although losing 4-1 to Rovers, who ended up claiming the league title. The attention now turns to the under-19 WNL Cup final for the Shells under-19 side. But again, Sean, products of the academy shining through international level, it's very good to see.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, like that under-17s, under-19s, some of the players in there are fantastic. Probably name 11, 12 of them that could play WNL senior football at any other club. And, you know, I'd say we're going to see more of them next year step into the Shells National League team. And, you know, I suppose I can't let the opportunity pass without, again, just saying, you know, I think obviously Ken Kernan, who's at Athlone now, he played a big part in developing a lot of those players, and they're just fantastic to watch. And, you know, I thought, even when we think of Lucy O'Rourke a couple of weeks ago, you know, stepping into the first team, just took it all in their stride. Hannah Healy's done the same, Rebecca Devereaux. They're just stepping up with a real professionalism. And I think, you know, it's the one thing that the Shells Academy has is ability to provide, I suppose, those opportunities to players. And, you know, you're seeing Hannah Healy now, like she's without a doubt one of the best players in the country, and she's probably still in a high development phase.
Yeah, probably a bit like the likes of Jack Moylan and Gavin Malloy, who have, you know, obviously the two lads, they weren't with the club, but you could imagine Hannah Healy getting a move abroad at some stage. I'm not spoiling anything there. Gavin Malloy is still very much a Shells player, but he definitely has a high ceiling. But we will look at the men's side now. And it was Gavin Malloy who played in the heart of defence for Shells on Friday evening as they took on Derry in the Ryan McBride Brandywell. Nil all draw, Sean, in the end. I suppose the main question I have for you, do you think it's a good or a bad result? Do you think it's a point gained or 2 points dropped in this pursuit for Europe?
I think it's 2 points dropped. I just thought it was all sideways and backwards. You know, at one stage I had to check I wasn't watching the Rugby World Cup. I think the ball was moving backwards that much. But look, you know, I think sometimes we do have to remind ourselves that, you know, if we had got that result 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we probably would have been giving each other high fives and then, you know, 2 day sessions. But yeah, I just think it was disappointing, like I suppose a player up early on, you know, not to be able to capitalize. Like, I think probably Paddy Barra had more shots than anyone else in the pitch. You know, and I just thought, like, he was really trying to get things moving forward. And, like, I just think one of the areas we've really struggled with at times is, like, the transition from kind of defense to attack. It's like we win the ball back and the first reaction is, I have to play it safe, have to play the safe pass, especially in central areas. Like, a lot of the stuff is just, we're winning it back and we're going sideways. And, you know, that's not how you hurt teams. You know, you have to be able to transition quickly. And I think that's probably one of the areas that we need to be looking at next year to improve upon. Like, the lads in there, JJ and Mark Coyle, like, they're warriors, they're battlers. They do fantastic Trojan work. But I do think we just miss that kind of magician in there. Like, when you look at someone like, you know, like a Will Patching or what's the young fella's name for Bowles, James?
Oh, McManus.
Yeah, like, just being able to find those passes between the centre half and the fullback, or, you know, blind passes. I think we lack that. You know, and obviously we do have great players in Jack and Harry, you know, but I just think we need to add another one in that kind of central area, and kind of a number, maybe 10, that you know, or an attacking midfielder that just is able to kind of bring other people into play by, you know, splitting defence passes, just getting on the ball and wanting to play forward earlier, not those kind of, let's just keep the ball and play the safe passes.
Yeah, in fairness, I think Harry Wood's a player since coming in from Hull that, I think at the start, we could all kind of see that his talent, and I do think he is that player. I think he's probably being tasked with a different role with the injuries to the forward line. He's finding himself in a much more forward position. But I do think he is that type of player that you're talking about. Overall in the game, I think before the game starts and before a ball is kicked on Friday night, you're probably going, look, if you can get out of here without being beaten, it would be good. But I think when you see the scoreline up in Daly Mount, and then, as you said yourself, like, descending off to Diallo, and Diallo is a crucial player for Derry as well. Like, you don't get it twisted. He's a player that makes them tick. With him gone off, you would have liked to have think we could have caused Derry a few more problems. And look, if Derry sit in, it's very tough. Duffer spoke about this himself. It's very tough to break down a team who are sitting in at times. And I don't really think the result is a good reflection of, you know, Shell's season in terms of, you know, where they are and probably where Shell should be. I think Duffer himself said they've left points on the board at times. And I'm looking at the injury list, Sean, you know, no Sean Boyd, no Matty Smith, Jada Kiki was absent, JR, and obviously Brian McManus. They're five players that, if fully fit, you're talking, you know, in and around the starting lineup. And I think you could have done with a Matty Smith or a Sean Boyd on Friday, even a Kiki with that breaking pass that you're talking about. But they just weren't there. And I do think without those players, it definitely hindered the result in the end.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially in that instance you're talking about there, where, you know, the team are sitting in, and as the game wears on, we're not having much luck breaking them down in terms of, like, you could see we tried to move them a lot. There was a lot of ball kind of going diagonally. You know, and in fairness to Jack, sometimes the ball was coming into the box, and in terms of, like, his aerial play, it wouldn't be the strongest part of his game. You know, he likes to have the ball at his feet. And that's where you'd probably be wanting to put on a Sean Boyd, you know, as Derry are getting tired, you know, where you're kind of going, right, last 10 minutes, let's just see how much we can get in the box here and you know, get it onto the big lad's head and let him go and do what he does best. And I suppose that option just wasn't, I suppose, on the bench and wasn't there for Duffer. But look, he's done a fantastic job in terms of, as you said, without the players, you know, due to injury, and being able to still maintain that kind of high performance environment and getting the best out of the lads. You know, and he really keeps it competitive. You can see that. Yeah, but look, that it's a testament to the team. And I mean, the fact that we're on here now and we're saying, like, you know, they should have won, you know, should have been 3 points, is a testament to them as the players that, you know, we think they are, and how they're seen in the club, that they're taught of highly. You know, I think it'd be worse if we were going, ah, Jesus, you know, well done for coming away for a point, because, you know, then it'd show a lack of belief from us in them. Mm. So, you know, and you could tell that they were frustrated by it. But look, they have, like, so many games I look back on, the UCD away, nil all. Mm. I think we had more chances in the first 5 minutes of that game than we did over the rest of the 85. Mm. You know, these kind of games are the ones that come back to haunt you. You know, and it's a learning experience, you know, that the lads are going to have to learn, that they have to step into every game, whether it's UCD or Rovers, and you know, apply themselves, and, you know, make sure that they're not conceding stupid goals, make sure that they're taking their chances. You know, and they're not always going to score a pretty goal. And look, you know, it's a club in development, and it's not going to be an overnight success. So, you know, it's important that we remember that as well. It's a process.
Yeah, I think another big part of the game was Will Jarvis's injury, which kind of limited the Chels that bit more then. And not to say that, you know, Evan Caffrey coming on, he's a fantastic player in his own right, but I just think that that kind of cutting edge and going forward, I think Jarvis is a good example of it against Rovers. You know, Dan O'Cleary was having nightmares about him getting past him, and I think you probably missed that, especially when Derry got down to one man, or 10 men, excuse me, if I had been one man, geez, left. Got down to 10 men. But yeah, Jarvis getting injured, it is frustrating again, because it's another player not fully fit. And, you know, for anyone tuning in looking for an update, I don't have one, sadly. But I do hope to see him again before the end of the season, because he has had a good little stint with Chelsea on it.
Yeah, he's been very good. I mean, he scored the goal against Dundalk, wasn't it? It was an absolute beaut. And I think, you know, yeah, I agree with you. Maybe he could have come into the game when they went down to 10 players. But I actually thought they'd done their homework on him very well. They were kind of doubling up a lot and closing the space down, forcing him to make the pass. And I actually thought to myself, like, you know, that I thought, geez, might have to look at bringing on Evan Caffrey just for the change, because you could tell that Derry kind of had him contained well. But yeah, look, these things happen. You go up and you play a long journey up there on a bus, and then you play on a poor Astro pitch. You know, these artificial pitches end up causing more injuries. Well, hopefully it's not too serious. He's a young lad, and whether or not we'd like to see him towards the end of the season, but if we don't, I hope that's nothing serious that, you know, will impact his future going forward.
Yeah, he's been a really real delight, I have to say. I think he's a player who, you know, when he gets on the ball, he just drives at defenders, causes so many problems. So it would be great to see him again. You brought up the UCD game, Sean, of the nil all from April at the start of the season as being a game that, you know, Shells probably left points on the board. But I think it was the game against Derry earlier on in the season as well, and Talca, there was a bit of a storm as well. Shells went one up, and I think Derry went down to 10 men again. I think it was O'Reilly who got sent off, and I see that as another opportunity where Shells probably could have nicked something. I think, you know, there has been games this season where it just hasn't fallen at times, and then, like, you look at moments like against Pats, you know, the comeback win, the draw at Rovers at home, and obviously the win against Bowes at home. Like, we've had great moments this season as well to look back on, but look, at Europe's probably the big thing on everyone's mind at the minute. You know, if we can get that, that'd be great. If we don't get that, Sean, how do you see the season overall?
I mean, look, for me, I think the squad, they're a good bunch of players. In terms of what, like, Duff and O'Brien have brought to the first team, like, do I think, you know, they've got them overachieving? Yeah, I do. You know, like, I think they're a very young squad, and when you look at the Shell squad against some of the other ones in the league, we probably wouldn't have them in the position they are now. But as I said, it's a testament to the lads, you know, hard work and attitude, and obviously the professionalism they're getting from the sideline and from management. But like I do think we'll be disappointed if they don't get Europe, because obviously anyone who supported the club for a long time will know what that feels like to be there. You know, there's a desire to get that back again. And, you know, I always say, like, Talca was my Wembley growing up, and to be there on a Champions League night, and, you know, it was just fantastic, and get to see the games and the atmosphere and whatnot. But, you know, will it be like an utter disappointment, or will it be a failure if we don't get Europe? No, it won't, because we finished higher than we were last year. And as I said, it's a process. You know, hopefully Duff will still be here going forward with the management he has, and they'll attract players. The management will give them the backing financially that they need to put in place a real professional environment, and, you know, bring in some maybe you know, new players, replace Jack. And we'll aim for higher next year, but you know, part of it is sometimes you have to miss out on these things for better things to happen, and you have to believe in that. But I still have hope that they'll do. I still believe that they'll do it. And I have no doubt in you know, with Damien Duff leading them, that it's well within their reach.
Yeah, I think when the carrot of Europe is dangled, people kind of, how do I put it, kind of get hysterical. You know, I think there was a point in the season where after we Cork, that people, you know, I a couple of lads saying to me, look out. I say a couple of lads, of me, brother and two of the boys saying to me, you know, if we win these games against Balls and Roar, it was like, I think as fans in general, we tend to get, you know, kind of caught up in it all. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what football's there for. It's there to be enjoyed. You know, it's that's what it's for. But I think we have to kind of maybe step back a little and look at the season overall. And as a campaign, it's been one of them where we've definitely improved in nearly every aspect of the game. And you're talking, you know, two or three injuries away from contending for a title, you know, nearly. So that's a feat in its own right, given, you know, the standard that Shamrock Rovers have put upon the league. So look, I'd be more than happy with how this, if the season was to finish tomorrow, I'd be more than happy with this Shell side. But there is still that chance of Europe, Shauna, and we have this game coming up on Friday evening against UCD at home. UCD, typically a difficult test. I think people underestimate them a lot of the time, but Shells have taken on UCD three times already this season. A nil-all draw in April that Shauna talked about, the 1-0 win in May, Shane Griffin with the goal, and then the 4-0 victory in July, Moylan, Lunny, Boyd and J.R. Wilson. All on the score sheet that day. Yeah, Sean, it's a big game in its own right, isn't it? I think a win on Friday is a must.
Oh yeah, it's a must win game. You know, and I think you're probably looking at UCD going, oh, they're done now, like, you know, that's it. Are they gonna turn up? If they do turn up, are they gonna really play? But look, I'm sure a lot of those lads will want to be putting themselves in the shop window for opportunities, you know, when the transfer window comes around, and they're in a position now where they've nothing to lose. So they can go out and enjoy their football, and that sometimes can be very dangerous to play against, because you're going into the game and you're thinking, you know, oh, look, these are going to roll over here, you know, only have to turn up and we'll do the job. And it's important that go out and put performance in, and, you know, professional performance at that. Like I thought earlier in the season when we played them, like, you know, it was just, and it goes to show you over the course of the season how the team have grown. Like I was there for that game, and there was kind of a bit of real immaturity about the kind of the team, and that, like, they were getting so frustrated and evidently frustrated when things weren't coming off, and UCD were sitting in and frustrating them, and they were getting more and more frustrated over the 90 minutes. And obviously Duff has worked on that with them to be able to channel that in a way that's positive rather than just getting frustrated with themselves and each other. And yeah, I think, you know, a massive big performance is needed. They'll need the crowd behind them. It's, as you said, it's Jack's last game, but, you know, there's going to have to be life beyond Jack for Shells, and it's important that other lads step up and, you know, become leaders now and beyond Paddy Barrett and Shane Griffin. He's a beautiful man, isn't he, Shane Griffin? But he's beautiful, isn't he? We have to look beyond him, and we need the rest of the lads now to step up and you know, like, become leaders on the pitch, because, you know, it's do or die now at this stage of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, there is still the chance of Europe is still very much there. You know, Duffer said in his post match interview with Darren on Friday, you know, let's finish the job, let's get it done, let's go get over the line. Look, I think Pats and Bowles have tough games themselves, the point they're making, and I think Drogheda away and UCD at home, they're tough games as well, but they're definitely winnable games, and I think win them too and you're definitely in with a chance of Europe, even if it means having to see, you know, one of, or needing one of Bowles and Pats to win the cup come November. I suppose, Sean, a quick prediction for the game.
I'm going to go 2-0 Shells.
2-0 Shells. I suppose your favourite player, Shane Griffin, got in a goal.
I was going to say Shane Griffin scored two, but I'll say Harry will get one, and I'll put money on it. Paddy Barrett from a corner.
I'd love to see Luke Bourne get a goal on Friday. I'm not sure how feasible it'll be now, but on the last home game of the season, see Luke Bourne go, it'll be great. Jack Warren as well, hopefully he's on the score sheet. I definitely see Shells winning on Friday. Few goals on the score sheet.
You just want everyone on the score sheet by the sound of it. There won't be anyone left in Tolga that's not on the score sheet by your estimation.
Well, sure, I'll get it going all, I'd say, at this rate. But look, I think Shells 3-0. I'm hoping for a decent performance as well. I think we've performed very well at times this season, and I think Europe would be very deserving of how we've played at times. But yeah, as I said, the last home game of the season, so do get your tickets now if you haven't. The game is also live on LOI TV for anyone who's outside the country or just, you know, wanting to watch the game at home. After the game on Friday, excuse me, Raith Tolga Park, the last one of the season, Sean Buckley on decks, kicks off 10 o'clock. Do get down and support that as well. Bucko is a very good DJ. And yeah, that's it, Sean, for this week. Thanks a mil for joining me.
No worries at all. What time did you say that rave is at 10 o'clock?
Rave is at 10 o'clock, Sean. It's a bit earlier than what you're used to, I'd say.
I was going to say it's a bit late. I'll be on my second round of dreams at that stage, I'd say. Hopefully good dreams after Shell's victory. But sounds like a good night for those that are not yet.
Yeah, rave Tolka Park Friday evening in the bar of Tolka without Sean Cook. But yeah, thanks a million for joining us. And up the Reds. You'll hear from us again soon.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Rest in the sunset. Wait.